Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
How's it going, Nadia?
Hey, Lon.
Yes?
I just want to tell our listeners that this episode is brought to you by the word sparkles.
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 So when you hear us use this word, have a drink on us. Doesn't have to be alcoholic. Maybe you want to drink your boba tea or whatever, or you know, if you want to eat that Doritos, have a Dorito on us, or have a snack on us, have a grape on us, do a push-up. But every time you hear the word sparkles drink up. But yeah, Lonha, how do you find the tell-all? How would you summarize the tell-all?
Defensive. I think it was weird for me when they were coming in doing the shots.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like everybody was already expecting to be attacked.
Mm.
And like, it felt like they were all really super defensive. Mm. And I'm willing to throw blows if it comes down to it. I'm like, dang, can't this just be a regular tell-all? I don't know if they were prepped or what, but it seemed like the producers might have been in their ear saying, hey, you know what? There's going to be a lot of shit talking. You better come with it. You better bring it.
Yeah.
And like, it really seemed that way, especially with Jabri. What was up with Jabri?
Dude, Jabri was off his meds.
Yeah.
Like, he was so combative.
Yeah.
And he was offering, like, anecdotes and comments that no one solicited. You know?
Agree, so 100%.
I don't understand why.
Like, nobody asked you, though.
Yeah.
You know? And it was really out of line when he just
a lot of times
started saying, you're going to make it. Y'all are going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it.
Who asked for your opinion?
Yeah, nobody asked for your opinion. And then he'll turn around and go, I'm big on respect. I'm really big on respect. Why are you being disrespectful then?
Yeah, dude. Why are you bullying people? Come on, man.
Oh, man. As much as we maybe made fun of him a little bit, I liked him during the season. I thought he had a lot going on and... Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, young couple with Miona, I understood where he was coming from with his parents and, you know, being pulled in so many different directions. I kind of sympathized with him. But then in the tell-all, he just felt like he wanted to fight everybody. You know,
yeah.
I was just like, dude, chill out, bro.
Something tells me that he wants to stay on the TLC payroll, which is why he upped the ante a little bit. He definitely bring the drama with him.
Yeah.
Just to maybe be on Pillow Talk or maybe be featured on Happily Ever After.
Someone mentioned that.
I think a lot of people.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to get a spinoff, dude.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Chill out, dude. Sit your ass down. Anyway, before we start, just want to remind everyone and you, Lon, that we live in an oppressive wood environment.
Oh my gosh.
Lon rolled his eyes, guys.
Oh my gosh.
So let's start with them then. Let's start with them.
Oppressive.
Word environment.
Oppressive words. So look, he was trying to paint himself as the good guy again.
Yeah.
I'm a victim of your mean words. Nah, they're just pointing out your flaws and you just don't want to hear it. Don't go and say, you know, that words really matter and they hurt and I'm a good guy. I'm a good husband and I'm good. Okay. Oh, okay. That said, though, these are still your flaws. You still mansplain. You still have a tendency to lecture. These are two different people who were married to you or are married to you. You know, your current wife and ex-wife both saying the same things. Mm-hmm. So take some accountability. Yeah. All right.
No. Yep. Yep.
Don't ask them to say nicer things. Like, that's what this is about. They're pointing out your flaws here. So when he started saying an oppressive word environment, I'm like, dude, are you trying to paint yourself out as the victim here and that they're saying mean things to you? No, I think you want them to say nice things and you can't handle it that you're being criticized right now is how I interpreted that whole thing.
Yeah. Like, he didn't want Shaida to say the word lecture because he doesn't want to come across as...
Right.
As what his ex-wife would call him, an imam, right? Which is basically an imam, for those of you who don't know, is a religious teacher, basically like a lecturer who would preach about religion. That's the Arabic word for it. So I can see why Shahida, his ex-wife, drifted apart, because I can see how insufferable he could get.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's a self-confessed or self-professed neat freak, it tells me that when you're that type of person, and I am a neat freak too, but it stems from the fact that you want to control things. So I can see that Bilal is someone who wants to control everything. You know, his women, the narrative, his own image.
Exactly.
So, but I think he's taking it a bit too far, because like you said, he's not being accountable for his actions, except for that one scene where I think people called him out on the fact that he thought the head smacking was, or the head tapping, sorry, was aggressive. And everyone was like, nope, that's not aggressive. And then he like admitted that, okay, well, I wouldn't have kicked her out of the car. I should have apologized. But also, like, I didn't really see the sincerity. I think he just said that because he got called out by everyone in the room. You
and
know?
He said he wouldn't, but you did. And we all saw it with our own. It's like he's trying to gaslight us again.
Yeah.
We saw you say it. You even stopped the car. Don't. Like, this is gaslighting, right? I would never have, blah, blah, blah. Bro, we saw you do it.
Yeah.
You were filmed. Like, dude, what did you know? You can't just say that. Like, okay, why did you stop the car? Like, you were definitely trying to make a point. We get it. Like, take some accountability. You said it. You even stopped the car. And she was like, oh, are you serious right now? And he's like, yes. Like, come on. You can't just tell us you weren't going to do it. The car literally was parked on the side of the road. Like,
yeah. Yep. I checked my notes and yes.
You know, and twice during the episode, I caught him just being dismissive. So I don't think she speaks up at home. So when she finally had the voice to speak up on camera, he also, again, didn't know how to handle it. And he would just say things like, okay, but we know, right? And
yes.
You're right. And I'm just like, he's just shutting her up right now.
Yep.
And I know this is toward the end of the tell-all, but like the way he looked at her when she was crying, he looked at her in like disgust almost. I was like, dude, I don't want to speculate too much here, but I just said, I hope she's okay. I hope she's okay.
Actually, I wanted to point out too that when I rewatched the first part of the tell-all, and the cameras were on them interviewing them, you can tell that the way Shahida said, and I don't exactly remember what she said, it's almost like a cry for help from the get-go. Like she's trying to say like, look, I've been trying to change him. I've been trying to like correct him, but he just doesn't want to change. And I think like you said, Lon, when there are more people around them to call him out on his misbehavior, that's when she feels vindicated, and that's when I think she feels more empowered to stand up to him. So when I rewatch it, I kind of saw that she was almost like crying for help. Like she's at her wit's end and she doesn't know what else to do, because clearly this cannot be resolved at home. So she had to bring him out to like a court of public opinion in order to like really confirm that, you know what, you're wrong, Bilal, because others said so as well.
I remember that was the first tell-all part one, right?
When they first came to
yeah,
the building.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah,
I
and
do remember
she was
that.
Just saying like, yeah, we're good, but you can just tell by the way she's trying to like, almost like a sending out an SOS to all of us.
Right.
Yeah, I just really feel for her. And the other scene that I wanted to call out too is that when they brought out the ex-wife, Shahida, I can see, obviously, they have unresolved issues. But what I don't like is when Shahida was being prescriptive or doubled down almost on the prenup. And I'm like, you have no place to double down on this. And I get it. She may have an agenda, right? I think we talked about it before. Like having the prenup would definitely solidify her kids' generational wealth. It will secure their inheritance, I guess you can call it. But then the way she tried to convince people like, okay, this prenup is important because here you have someone who came in without assets And then Shahida was like, who you say not having assets or something
you
like that,
don't
right?
know me.
Yeah,
You
you don't
don't
know me.
know what I'm...
And then Shahida's comeback was so weak. She said like, well, you don't have a car in the US. And I'm like, first of all, a car is a liability, not an asset, but whatever. And she's like, and you don't have a house in Trinidad because you stayed with your parents. And I'm like, yeah, but you failed to mention that Shahida had a business.
Mm-hmm.
That's her asset. She had to sell them in order to come to the US. So I think she kind of lost that argument. And I like the fact that Shahida came back with, well, opinion is like a nose. Everyone has it.
Yeah. Yeah. Shahida started sounding like Bilal at that time. I was like, it's important that you have this because, you know what I mean? Like you said, right? Just to keep these assets and stuff. I'm like, dude, it was like he trained you to say that. You know what I mean? It's so, I don't know. And not just that, but also when she said she was disappointed about the prank, couldn't you just say, okay, it was maybe she doesn't think so. So I don't want to put words in her mouth. I guess, you know, people are different and maybe she didn't see it as just a prank. Maybe she really did see it as a test.
A test,
And that Shida failed that test.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, but come on.
Yeah.
And again, this is going to be an argument that people are divided over because there are still people, you know, that comment on Twitter that also see this as a test that Shahida failed and that maybe she could have been more sensitive. Maybe she could have been, you know, less gold digger about it. But I don't know. I think, and we've said this in the previous episodes, is he set her up for failure and he set her up to look that way. When she doubled down on that too, she was like, oh no, I spent 2 years in that house and I'm really disappointed that she felt that way. Come on, though.
Yeah, but it's different for Shahida. She came like, where was it, 3,000 miles away, what, to get pranked?
The context is everything here.
Yeah,
right,
context,
right, right.
You know, like maybe when you first started out with Bilal, and by you, I mean Shahida, the ex-wife, maybe he didn't have a nice fancy house. Maybe he's still an up-and-coming real estate agent. And maybe they had to stay in the childhood home or whatever. And that was then. But now that he's more successful, I mean, he has a new house. Why is it right that we have to put Shahida through this test? Why do you think that it's right to put her through this test? I just don't get that logic. Is this a rite of passage? Everyone has to go through some sort of test. What are we, like, you know, high school or something? Like, you're playing games now. Like, no one leaves their home, their family, their friends behind, their business behind to get pranked.
Right. And didn't he, Bilal, also get called out by one of the cast members? Like, this is your fiance, the person you're going to, this is how you want to portray her to everybody?
Yeah.
Like, really? Is this... This is how you want.
Who said that?
Yeah, somebody said that. And another thing, like whenever the men spoke up about Bilal, Bilal didn't have a word to say. Like, I think there were many times when men called him out, he didn't say anything. But whenever Shahida found her voice, all of a sudden it was like, you know, he was able to speak. But there were a few times when like people were calling him, like Patrick was calling him out the entire time.
Yeah.
This is a salesman. He's a salesman. This salesman. That. You're a salesman. You're a salesman. He was just quiet on the couch. Yeah, he couldn't say anything. I'm like, dude, are you going to defend yourself? Or can you only defend yourself when your wives are speaking about you? Like, you know?
That's like so emblematic of a patriarchy.
Mm.
They can take it from a man, but not from a woman.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I recognize that because that's the environment I grew up in, unfortunately. I do like the fact that Patrick blew the whole Bilal being a salesman wide open, because you can see that it was such vindication to Shahida. She's like, yeah, that's what I've been talking about the whole entire time.
Yeah.
And, like, and even Ari called him out. Ari called him out. I forgot who else. I think maybe Kara or Guillermo maybe have called him out too. But yeah, I just don't like how dismissive Bilal is and how he's just okaying it for the sake of, like, not acknowledging whatever the comments that's been made about him. He's just like, okay. Like, even Sean Robinson was like, oh, so we're still doing passive aggressive now or something like that. I might be wrong, but I thought I caught her. Like, even she called that out. But
Right.
Anyway, I mentioned Kara and Guillermo, and I thought maybe we can segue to them. First of all, congratulations to Kara. She's expecting, and you know, she still looks hot. I really couldn't tell. I really couldn't tell. I guess it's because it's still pretty early on, but I'm so happy for them and for Guillermo and her. I actually have nothing much to say about them. You know, I know they brought out the ex-boyfriend and she kind of came clean on why there wasn't any clean breakup. And I know Guillermo still feels kind of bitter about being called a child or something. And that's why he calls himself a toddler. So I get that. That was actually a jab. And I don't know if Ari gets it, but I think Ari kind of like maybe supported the idea of him being a smart toddler. I didn't get it the first time around, but I got it the second
You're a
time around.
smart toddler,
Yeah. I don't like when Patrick called Kara condescending just because she objected to the purchase of the laptop. And again, like, this is probably some misogyny going on here, Patrick. Like, is that why you're not with an American woman? Like, because you think that they're direct and they speak up, whereas maybe Thais doesn't. I don't know. I mean, I just don't like that comment, honestly.
Yeah. So I 100% agree. When Patrick was saying that, and also when Guillermo was saying that, it felt as if they don't want to be spoken to with empowerment. Yeah, I mean, it felt like, well, if you're going to be that way, you have to stroke our ego. If you're going to be like logical and stuff, then at least you have to make us feel better about it. That's not their fucking job to coddle you, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was getting, was that it wasn't so much that she was being maybe condescending or controlling. It's that you were hurting my feelings when you spoke that way. You have to say it and say it a certain way that makes me feel good about myself. No, dude. Like, and I get that she can be controlling. Like, I get that. But for someone like Kara, she doesn't see that as a big deal. I think if you were to speak your mind as well and to stand your ground and to also speak maybe strongly or make compelling arguments, that she would respect that. For her, she doesn't see that as being condescending or controlling. There was a part where she said, you know what? I don't always act like I'm 30. There's times when I act like that too. Like, so for her, it's almost like that's not a big deal. Like,
yeah,
if I'm
nature.
Acting funny, then call me out on that. Like, I don't care. So the fact that they're calling her out for maybe treating somebody like that, she's like, that to me, that's nothing though.
Yeah.
That's when I was feeling that maybe Patrick just doesn't like it because he wants his ego to be stroked first. And maybe Guillermo might be that way too, but Guillermo just seems more soft-spoken and I could see how he might get offended easily, but Patrick was definitely giving off those kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Like, you're too empowered right now. Too aggressive. You need to make us feel good about ourselves because we're men. And like, fuck that, dude. Like, come on, dude. Man.
Now that you mentioned about Guillermo being soft-spoken, I realized that him, Bini, and Miona didn't really speak much during the tell-all. And of course, Bilal as well. He mostly stayed quiet. But yeah, I noticed that those four, I would say, they didn't really contribute much.
Yeah.
And we can
no,
get
they
to
didn't.
That later on. But oh, I'm being Sean Robinson here. We'll table this conversation. I guess this won't be resolved today. But anyway. Aside from the hand gesture that, I forgot her ex's name, but remember she did.
Yeah.
When he was describing like how they were like fucking like bunnies or something. He was
I
doing.
Don't.
I was
know.
Like, dude, really? Like, what is that about? Do we still use that hand gesture? But anyway.
He seemed cool during their episode, but then during the tell-all, he really just seemed like a bitter, hurt ex who hasn't moved on yet.
Yeah.
He came off as just really
I blame
like
the producers, man. They probably asked him to like turn up the drama. Dress
he
up
was,
like Ozzy Osbourne here.
Yeah, he was
like fake Ozzy.
He
Osbourne.
Was super offended, and you know,
yeah,
like,
what's that about?
Her
what's
husband's
that?
Right there. You know, you're not gonna be respectful. You're just gonna make it. I don't know. Again, it just seemed like he was playing the bitter ex and just didn't care and just wanted to fire shots.
Yeah. Well, other than that, I just want to say Kara's assessment of the tell-all is very spot on. Right? She understood the assignment. She knew that being in the public eye, their lives would get scrutinized. I think they got off really easily because they're not that messy. If you think about it, their private lives are pretty okay compared to like,
yeah,
say, everyone else, or compared to the next couple that we're about to talk about, which is Patrick and Thais. So from one pregnant couple to another pregnant couple, apparently they didn't expect to get pregnant because Sir Patrick does not have any sperm.
Or so they thought,
and then boom, they got lucky.
Yeah. But
congratulations, nevertheless. Really happy for them as well.
16 weeks at the time of the taping?
Yeah, they both were 16 weeks
right,
long.
Right.
Yeah, I'm really happy for them. So a couple of things to note here. They're no longer based out of Dallas, apparently. They're now in Vegas. So I guess they joined Beanie.
Mm.
Be based out of Vegas. I don't know what he does that caused him to like travel a lot, but maybe he's a traveling salesman. Maybe he goes to different branches of the, I don't know, whatever. I can remember another 90 Day Fiancé couple that moves around a lot.
Mm.
Because right. When we first met them, they were based out of what, Austin, and then they moved to Dallas, and then now they're in Vegas.
Right.
Even during this season, whenever we watch their scenes, they're either somewhere, right? They're traveling somewhere. They're in Florida. They're in Boston.
They're never in the same place.
Yeah.
Like, it's always somewhere else.
Very interesting lifestyle, yeah. I guess. I think the only shady thing to come out of their tell-all is the fact that Patrick was sort of two-timing Thais during the time that Thais thought that they were together, and then Patrick kind of tried to downplay it by saying, oh, she got the timeline wrong. And then Thais was like, no, I found out that you were still, I guess, cheating, right? Essentially, even though it's not like he can get it up. We talked about that before.
Right.
But it's still emotional cheating. And she found out during the same day they got engaged, according to her. So,
what's up with
that?
That's
shady.
Yeah, it's shady.
Yeah.
And you know, right? The way he tried to downplay it by, oh, I was like in between relationship. Nothing was official yet. Dude, you're visiting her. I forgot how many, but he was visiting pretty frequently. So of course I would think we're dating.
Every 6 weeks for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of visits to Brazil and Chile.
Right. And also before they addressed that, did they say something about like, I don't know. In my notes, I wrote that there's a double standard when it comes to their DMs. Like she checks his DMs or he checks her DMs, but they don't, but the other one doesn't check the other's DMs. I forgot. Do you remember that or something?
When it comes to DMs, I remember Emily and Kobe talking about their DMs because a lot of women slide into his DMs, but I don't remember Thais and Patrick talking about DMs. But speaking of DMs, I think that, you know, because of this two-timing incident, it explains why Thais is tracking
into
him.
Yeah,
into like, checking his phone,
of course,
because
right.
She's like, I can't trust you. I don't know if you're still texting that woman or whoever, right? So I can understand that better. I have, you know, more empathy on that particular topic. But
the big issue, I think, with Patrick and Thais is John.
Really?
I think so. For Thais, it definitely is. And yeah. I think Patrick is playing... He's playing the... Okay, so how do I describe this? He's definitely in the middle, but yeah. I think he's playing it to
safe?
Safe is a good word, I guess. He's too hands-off. I think...
I get it. Like, he's not firm enough with his brother, and he doesn't stand up enough for Thais.
Yeah, so...
I can kind of see that, because I think John does cross the line a little bit. But then when they replayed that whole scene of her calling him out for drinking beer and playing video games, I was like, that's kind of out of line. I mean, at that time, she was just a fiance who just flew in from Brazil. And she's already trying to, you know, give orders and like
right.
comment about people's lifestyle. And I'm like, maybe you need to chill. And I can see how that became like a combative, intense relationship, right, between her and John. And I think too, like, she would do well learning how John communicates, or maybe just leaving him the fuck alone, you know? Because I think she's trying to impose herself onto John, and John's not the kind of person that's going to be taking it. He's just going to be John, you know? He's that rebellious. And I don't think he's an easy person to get along with. But I think the best course of action here is to just leave him the fuck alone, you know, instead of picking on his every behavior. That's my opinion, you know. But I think I know where you're getting at is I wish too that Patrick is a little bit more disciplinary with his brother. Like he could say like, hey, John, back off. Like you cannot disrespect my wife. If my wife's not comfortable with you, like, you know, you both need to both do a timeout or something. But like, I can see why he's conflicted because, and this is where I remember we speculated that maybe the reason why John is sort of like codependent on Patrick is because he might be an AA member. I don't know, but I resent saying that because I don't want to become like Jibri trying to accuse someone of being like an alcoholic from the get-go. I wonder too, like if Patrick's being easy on John because something might trigger a relapse of something. Maybe it's drug abuse. Maybe it's alcohol abuse. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. But I still wish that Patrick would be a little bit more firm with John.
I think John's definitely in some kind of rut. Whether it's, I don't want to speculate too much. I don't know if it's drugs or alcohol, whatever. And I think, you know, when it comes down to his lifestyle, his lifestyle is his lifestyle. I have no qualms with him playing video games and drinking if that's what he wants to do on his Monday. But for me, I think there's a way where Patrick can be encouraging instead of enabling. And I think that's what I wrote in my notes.
Mm.
If your brother is in some kind of rut, which is preventing him from moving out, or preventing him from maybe leveling up, right? And reaching a particular goal. Yeah. There's a way to be encouraging about it. And that way you can also tell your wife, hey, I'm working on it. Instead of I'm trying my best. But your best is to just be hands off and not do anything and let us figure it out. That's not your best.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying I'm stuck in the middle, but okay, but what are you doing about that? So I think you can please both. There's a way to do it where both of them can be happy. Well, not even happy, but both of them can see that you're trying.
Yeah.
Like, encourage your brother and instead of enabling him. And that way you can always come back to Thais and say, look, like I did XYZ, you know, we're trying to get him out of here. And, you know, with John, it's not like he's straight kicking him out. You're saying, look, it's time for you to level up. It's time for us to go our separate ways. I'm going to start to have a family. You know what I mean? There's just a way to do it. I don't know if he's doing enough. So interestingly, I had a poll and maybe I shouldn't have given three answers, but I gave three answers. Do y'all think Patrick should be doing more about the situation? 29% said he's not doing enough. 24% said he's doing his best. And 47%, more than half, said that's not our business. But if I didn't leave, that's not our business. Like, I'm curious to see how many people would say that Patrick is doing enough.
Yeah. I also suspect that Patrick is also another, I don't want to say spineless, but he does come across as spineless because when Jibri called them trailer trash, he didn't say anything.
He didn't say nothing.
Dude.
I know what you mean.
And Kara called him out on that too. He's like, hey, like, why no reaction when your brother got called a trailer trash and he was like just silent?
And Jibri doubled down too. He said, oh, they're from the trailer parks.
Yes. That's why I say them, you know, not just John, because he insinuated it's the two of them. And I'm like,
I was like, fucking Jibri, dude.
Yeah.
You're just being so disrespectful.
No filter at all.
Oh, no, man.
And Patrick didn't say anything. I think either he wants to maintain a good relationship with Jibri and Miona, or he's just spineless. I don't know. I mean, maybe being silent too is agreeing.
I'm more on the wavelength of, maybe I wouldn't use the word spineless, but I know what you mean. He's very passive.
Yeah,
he's
very passive.
He doesn't like confrontation. He avoids confrontation. He doesn't like to stick up for himself. And he just kind of sits there.
Yeah, and now that you said that, and I'm rewinding all the scenes of him, what he said whenever John and his wife gets into it, he doesn't say much.
You guys figure it out.
Yeah, like going back to the scene when she confronted him about the beer, the only contribution from Patrick is that, they have beer in Brazil.
Yeah.
He didn't say like, John, come on, like, shut the fuck up. Or like, hey, go play your games. Like, leave us alone or something. Like, he's not firm. He's just very passive.
Yeah.
Whenever there's conflict, he just chooses to be Switzerland.
And he's quick to tell Thais, that's my brother.
Yeah.
But then how about telling, you
John
know, telling
that,
your
hey,
brother,
that's my wife.
That's my fucking wife you're talking about. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, again, I apologize if the word spineless isn't the best use of adjective for Patrick.
It's fine. I know where you're going
But
with that.
I can definitely say Beanie is also spineless.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that guy
Fitting.
just
That's
let,
fitting.
yeah, he just lets Jibri bully his wife. Like, where's your manhood? Did you leave it in the ring? Like, what's going on? And okay, I didn't agree with Jibri, but I have to say though, after learning about their current situation, I do think that there's some toxicity in their marriage. And
Who
I'm
who are we talking about, Ari and Benny or
yeah.
Miona and Jibri?
No,
Oh, okay.
Ari and Beanie, because
Oh, definitely.
yeah.
After this episode for the tell all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
totally.
They're married but living separately.
Yeah.
She goes off to Ethiopia for supposedly a week, stays there for 3 months.
And blocks him.
And blocks him. That's
With
just
his
odd, dude.
son? I'm
Yeah.
like, wait. You have his son and you're blocking him?
And she said he didn't notice it because I guess she calls him. So she kind of controls the whole thing. She calls him to, I guess, maybe check in or something, right? To let Avi talk to his dad or whatever. But I guess, I don't know, maybe he tried to call her and didn't get through. And that was because he was blocked. That's just,
yeah.
again, I mean, who are we to like judge their marriage? Maybe this works out for them, but there is some level of toxicity, right? Because that's just not healthy.
Yeah. I understand and respect taking time apart so that you raise your kid in a healthy environment
Yeah.
rather than in an environment where they witness their parents fighting.
Fighting, yeah.
All the time. So I
Yeah.
get that part. Yeah. You know, and I kind of understood what she meant, what Ari meant. I know this might be an unpopular opinion. I kind of understood what she meant when she said, I blocked him because rather than her getting like jealous or whatever, she did it as a measure to control
herself.
herself.
Yeah.
In a weird, twisted, fucked up way.
Yeah.
I get that. I know what she's
But
like.
there's the thing, it's whatever works, right? Like, if that
Yeah.
works for them, great. And maybe
You're
this
not
is,
working on the relationship.
yeah, you're avoiding it,
Avoiding
maybe?
it. Yes. Yeah.
But
And it's not healthy, I think, in the long run. It's not
totally,
sustainable.
totally. What is worrying is that Beanie is just showing signs of, I just want my green card to pursue this MMA career, and I don't give a fuck where my wife is.
Facts.
Because he was so checked out during the tell-all. I know he doesn't feel comfortable speaking in English, but going back to the whole spineless comment, like, he got called out for not standing up to her when, is it Mimi or Wish, threw the wine at Ari. Like, you as a brother, you should be the one telling them, like, hey, look, that's my wife. You assaulted her with red wine. And you
He
now,
was
you...
laughing. He was
yeah.
laughing with them.
Yeah. He's just
Bad
like another
look.
Patrick too. It's almost like he's agreeing with them. He's like siding with them. But he
Yeah.
cannot do anything because he wants the green card. Because that's his baby mama. But he probably doesn't love her.
Yeah.
He's sending off that vibes of like, I don't give a shit anymore. I just want to pursue this career, get my green card, split after 5 years. That's what Pedro and Chantel is going through.
I know we don't cover the show, y'all, but I've been seeing a lot of tweets about that, and it makes me want to at least watch the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, you got to watch the last one too, because the last episode, spoilers, sorry, but you can skip this part, listeners, but this last episode was him asking for the divorce, and this is when they're sort of going through separation.
Are we team
Chantel?
Chantel on this one?
And I can say this, even though I'm not a fan of hers, but just objectively, she wants to work on the marriage. It just appears that way. Pedro checked out.
Wait,
He's
so
like,
is he cheating? What was that again? What?
That's the
Sorry,
rumor.
Y'all. I don't watch the show. I'm just getting context from Twitter, from tweets I'm reading.
Yeah, I don't watch the entire season, so let me
all
preface
right,
it yet
yeah,
that
yeah.
way. But from the last few episodes I've watched, it just seems like she did suspect that he has like extracurricular activity at his job.
Is that how she phrased it?
No, I'm
oh.
phrasing it. Me, Nadia, I'm phrasing
Some
it that way.
Extracurricular
activity. Extracurricular activity. So I can see how that became insufferable and very stifling for him.
Yeah.
But for you to just exit out I guess either he's had enough of her and her family, or just he just fell out of love, you know. And she's the one who's like, let's work on this marriage. She went to the Dominican Republic to talk to his mom, to try to talk to him to work on their marriage. So it's like she's pulling out all stops here to salvage their relationship. But he's like all checked out. And then the drama continues because she supposedly took out $265,000 of their money in a joint account. So that's
a
the
lot of money.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, that's a lot of money.
I'm guessing that's the TLC money too. So, but I can see why, because she's pissed. She's like, okay, well, if you're not going to play ball, I mean, fuck this. I'm just going to take our money and go my own way. And I think there's like some ongoing legal stuff happening right now, but we just have to see it unfold. Or maybe you can Google it. But
wow. Yeah. And it's funny that you said Team Chantel, because from what I read on Twitter, it seems that a majority of people are also Team Chantel. Mm-hmm. But like for me, not knowing what's going on in the show and just everything that I've seen from the family, if I were Pedro and how the family has treated Pedro, I love you, Chantel, but I don't want to marry your family. They're nuts. That's how I saw it, you know? And I'm like, maybe he's doing that. Maybe he's just like, I'm tired of your mom, tired of your, you know what I mean? I'm tired of your brother. I can't stand him. They always pick on me. They look at me as if I'm just marrying into you because I want whatever your family has. The way they treat Pedro like crap. From the beginning, they've always said Pedro is just marrying into money and that he wants to use the family. So I don't know what's going on in the show, but if I were Pedro, I would feel some type of way about that.
For sure. I'm not denying that. I think the family does get in his face at times, but I thought it got better because then they start to pick on that other brother's Filipino wife, right? And it's like the family's consistent that way. So I have to give that to them. They're annoying that way. And we get it. That's why they have their own show. But you have to think about how Nicole is also very abusive towards Chantel and how his own family is just as toxic as Chantel's family.
You're
like
right.
Nicole's mom, as much as she acts all like, you know, righteous and shit, she's also very toxic. The advice that she gives
Pedro's mom too, right?
Yeah. Okay, Pedro's mom.
Pedro's mom.
And Nicole's the sister, and the sisters never approve of their relationship. If anything, Nicole wants Chantel to get with her friend Corima, I think, right? I think we talked about that before.
Wait, you said you don't watch the show or you do watch?
I don't know anymore. I don't anymore, but I remember because we listeners, we covered them in our Patreon. So if you're interested to know our opinions of their previous episodes, where 90 Day was it WTF?
WTF?
Extra? Yeah. So anyway, just to get back on track here, sorry guys, we went went a bit off, but yeah. So again, like I think this is the whole theme of checked out, right? Just Beanie's checked out. We're going to discuss the next couple who's also checked out. Muhammad seems checked out. Again, man, like, let me just start with saying, I am a green card holder. I don't want to have that stigma of like, I am with someone because of green cards. And I want to be team immigrant, right? In this case, whenever I watch 90 Day Fiancé, I'm like, no, I don't think they're here for the green card. They really love their American partners. And I so want them to last, like, just so it doesn't, you know, like I don't get that stigma too, because I feel a certain type of way being a green card holder myself. But then when people like Muhammad does this kind of stuff where he's already cheating on her just as he got his green card, like, man, fuck you. Go back to Egypt.
Yeah, to me it almost explained, I don't know,
the sponsor
how far
thing.
Back. Yes, yeah. It explains so much. And I was just like, oh, man. And it's funny that they added it towards the end, because up until that point, I didn't have much to say. All they did was retread stuff we already talked about.
Yeah.
So I was just like, what are we going to talk about? And then like I started seeing tweets about it. And I'm like, do I got to Google this, or is this something they're going to cover? And then they covered it in the like last 5 or so minutes. That was messed up. Messed up. One of the texts, he said he'll go to
the
fucking
lawyer, attorney, or something.
And just end it or something, and he doesn't care. Yeah. I'm like,
no, he's looking out for his own interest, obviously, because he wants to talk to a lawyer to see how he can get divorced while still retaining his green card. I think that's why he wants to go to a lawyer.
Man.
So this motherfucker, right? Okay, so you know what's worse? He called the cops on her.
For assault. Yeah, she has assault and battery charges. And
Yeah.
but she's saying it didn't happen. So I know some
Yeah.
people are like, oh, she whooped that ass after this. She saw the text messages. But according to her, she's saying that he's lying.
Okay. I am very triggered by this because just a week ago, I mean, maybe a week or two ago, do you guys remember Michelle Branch,
The
the
singer?
singer?
Yeah.
She got charged the same thing for slapping her husband, and her husband is the drummer from Black Keys, a rock band, because she found out that he cheated on her while she was pregnant with their kid. She just slapped him. He called the cops on her. The cops had to release her because she's still breastfeeding their baby.
Oh my gosh.
I cannot respect men who do that to their baby mama or their partner. I just can't. You deserve to get slapped. I don't care. I know that's assault. I get it.
I
But
know.
if you cannot take a slap and you have to call the cops on your woman, you have to give back your man card. I'm sorry. If you can't take a slap because you did something wrong, your
It's
mama didn't taught you any
giving
better.
Shaida Bilal vibes,
Yeah, exactly. Right?
right?
But yeah, I was so triggered when I found out about this because it just reminded me of that Michelle Branch news. Yo, we'll be sharing a lot of these extra nuggets around.
Yeah, y'all are getting bonus
You're getting free
content.
bonus content. So a few takeaways, right? Apparently Muhammad was a virgin when they consummated their relationship. Okay, whatever.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. He complained that she had tax issues, which is why she couldn't
Right.
file his paperwork to get the green card. And I'm like, dude, come on, be sympathetic. Like, she's trying her best. She has a kid who has Down syndrome, right? She has special needs. She's doing a lot. And here you are complaining about not getting your green card in a timely manner. Clearly, you have other agenda, which is what's been proven here,
Right.
right? So, yeah. I don't know, man. A part of me feels like, is this them trying to prolong their TLC career or is this really what happened? Because when they interviewed him after the tell-all was over, I just felt like he was being too honest. Like he was like, yeah, I cheated on her. It's almost like he admitted to it and he's like, yeah, I'm so wrong for doing that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, I just think because he got busted red-handed,
That
there's
too.
nothing he could say.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know how they got the text messages, but he got exposed.
Yeah,
He
totally.
got exposed. And like when I read him, I'm like, he's like, how about a kiss? I'll keep you in bed all day. I'm just like,
Ooh. Ew.
dude, like, does TLC give them phones? Like, what? How does this happen? Because those messages were just straight up like, bam. There's no defense. There's no defense. You're busted. It's there, literally spelled out.
Right.
And I'm just like, what do you say? You know, other than own up to it.
Question. For real, if you're having domestic issues, would you share all that with TLC after filming is over? Unless you want to get TLC money?
Are they under a contract too? Obviously, for me, I would want to keep my private shit private, especially if it makes me look bad.
Yeah.
You couldn't pay me. If shit's gonna embarrass me that much, and you
Exactly.
couldn't pay me to release shit
The
like
fact that
that.
they shared the text messages, that's why, Lon, I say I don't know what to believe anymore. Are they trying to
Oh.
get into the next series of 90
Like,
Day
this is
Fiancé?
purposeful.
Right. Like, why would you do that? Why would you do that, Eve? Why? If you're having domestic issues with your partner, the first person you call is your friend or your family members, not TLC. I
Well,
would
okay, wait,
leak
wait,
it.
wait.
You
If
know what
it
I mean?
was Eve, though, let me take it back. I was in Muhammad's shoes.
Oh, okay.
If it
Okay.
was Eve,
Yeah.
hell yeah, I want to put him on blast. You know what I mean? That was messed up what you did. I'm gonna put you on
I
blast.
would too, but like, I don't know if I would go through TLC though. I don't know. And especially now that she's being charged with battery and assault. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, now if that was her plan, it backfired because now it's like, first is the cheating. Now we hear her being allegedly arrested.
Right.
That's a bad look for her if that's what she plans to do, which is to put him on blast. Like, I would just kept it private, man. I would be like, filming is over. TLC producers don't need to know what happened to us. Maybe they didn't intend to sign on, but maybe they did. And that's why they shared all those messiness. But
Everyone's got a price.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, I could see them following the story.
Yeah. And so
Totally.
now all of us viewers are going to be like, okay, what happened next? Are they still
Yeah.
together? You know, is Muhammad still in the US or whatever, right? Like Natalie. We're so compelled to know what's next. Anyway,
Right.
question for you before we move on, Lon. Are you Team Eve's friend or Team Muhammad when it comes to that scene?
Muhammad.
I'm with you too.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Even if, so the way she tried to justify it is, well, you know, for us, we're liberated and
Yeah.
sex is like this.
Yeah.
Still, though, that's not an excuse
Yeah.
to ask people about their sex life upon meeting them. That's
Yeah.
just.
I didn't buy that. I'm all, and I think we both, right? We're both are all about women empowerment and being sex positive. But
Totally.
there's also such a thing as etiquette and
Yeah.
timing. And if it's our first time meeting someone, I'm not going to tell you that, oh, yeah, are you into porn? Like, you know
Yeah.
what I mean? That's not the
My
first.
name's Lon. Do you watch porn?
Yeah,
Like,
exactly. Like, that's not the kind of topic
what's
you
that?
bring up when you first meet someone over dinner, right? It's just not appropriate. I don't care if you're sex positive, you're empowered, you're, you know, whatever group that you're in, good for you. It's not
Especially understanding that they come from very religious
conservative.
upbringings.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. You know this guy's from Egypt and
No,
you're gonna ask
yeah.
him about porn? Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
All
that's just
right.
bad taste.
Yeah. Well, now that that's cleared, I thought maybe we can talk about my favorite couple, Lon. Surprise, surprise. It's Emily and Kobe.
I didn't have much to
Me
say.
too. I feel like Emily became likable.
Yeah,
Can you
I've
tell?
always kind
Is
of
that
liked her though.
possible?
I've always kind of liked her though. For me, she's just really fun. There are things I didn't like when she was pushing his buttons about shoveling shit and stuff like that. But
Yeah.
I've always thought she was a likable. I could see myself going, "Hey girl,
Yeah.
happy
Yeah.
hour today."
Yeah.
I could see that.
I just feel like she and Kobe make such a great couple. Like we see them outside of filming and then we finally see them as an actual couple, a real couple. And I won't say almost, like I don't think they did, but they're almost finishing each other's sentences or almost like understanding each other, why that person is jealous, why they did this. You know what I mean? Like
He's
they
got
have a good
boxer
understanding.
shorts of her.
Right. You know, she's like, yeah, okay, they can slide into his DM, but we still fuck. Like,
Yeah,
okay, TMI, but okay. Like, I wonder too if it's less stressful in their relationship now that he's got a job and she got what she wants, I guess, right? Being a stay-at-home mom, which again, like, I think that's the best you can do with two small kids, too.
yeah.
Like, who am I to say otherwise? The other thing I wanted to call out is the fact that we still don't know what the dad gave
It's
Kobe.
not a house, I think.
You think it's not like a house key?
I wish it were, but there was a point when they were being interviewed where he said, we have to move out and find a
Yeah,
house.
that's true.
And I was
That's true.
like, oh, wait, that wasn't,
That
you,
wasn't
they
the
didn't give
house.
you a house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Key to a car,
Yeah.
maybe?
Or maybe they're just saying that for the camera. Maybe they're just saying
Yeah.
that for the camera. I could get that too, because they were really super tight-lipped about
Yeah.
it's just between us. So he could
Yeah.
be just saying that for the cameras.
Okay. I
Yeah.
also like the fact that Emily's hot mom, I must say, gave that PSA on normalizing breastfeeding out in the open because, yep, I mean, newsflash, folks, that's how babies get fed.
That's how we
Yep.
feed people.
Yep. That's how we
Yeah.
feed people, breasts out or not. I mean, free the nipple, right? So, yeah, I don't have much to say about them. I can see them lasting longer than.
Yeah.
Yeah, than what most people would
And you
think.
know, and I would want to watch more of them too, I
Me
think.
too.
I
It's
would
a
like to
beautiful
see more of
family.
them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind. I know we said a lot of bad things about Emily, but I'm
We
cool with.
could do worse than Emily and Kobe.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is so true. So
Yeah.
true. Anything else that we can say about Kobe and Emily? I'm trying to look at my notes here and I'm like,
Still
yeah.
living with their parents,
Yeah.
sex 4 to 5 times since the birth of their newest. I don't know. We don't
Yeah.
need to talk about that stuff.
True that. All right. We've come to the most explosive couple during the tell-all. Actually, by that, I mean just one person. It's just Jibri that kind of
It's
stole the show and
the Ghibli
the
show.
Jibri show. He tried to pick
Yeah.
a fight. I don't know where to start. I just feel like Jibri just went off. And I think we speculated that it could be because he just wants to prolong his TLC career.
Mm-hmm.
They still live in Palm Springs, right? From what I heard. I have this theory that the only reason why he walked away from the couch was because he knew he was in the wrong. Because David made a lot of sense, right? And again, maybe this is something that they both created to amp up the narrative, right? Is that it wasn't Miona that caused tension. It was just him. It was just Jibri, right? Jibri didn't invite David to their wedding. He kept Miona away from the band. It was just him in his feelings, I feel, because he said he was carrying the band on his shoulder or something like that. He said like he was leading the band and everyone else wasn't pulling their own weight. And he felt frustrated and very stressed. And when he met Miona, she just was like the opposite of that. And I mean, good for him, but I don't know why he became so combative towards his own band members and started to kind of pit them against each other or use Miona as an excuse. It just felt like he was in the wrong there. And David just kind of was spelling it out like, hey, it's not me, it's you. And then he walked away, obviously. And then he made some excuse like, why can't you just be happy for me? Like, you're just jealous. And I'm like, dude, he's not. Like, the guy's got a trucking business. He's probably earning a lot more and doing well in life. Like, why are you saying he's jealous? Yeah, so that's my theory anyway. Go ahead.
It really did feel like the Jibri show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I say that, I mean that he knew that the cameras were on. I know the cameras were on him all season, but I know that at this particular time during the tell-all, that like spotlights would really be on him. But some of this stuff just seemed really contrived.
Right, totally.
Yeah. Do you really gotta? He was just being so extra. Do you really gotta call everyone out?
Yeah.
Do you really gotta fire shots at our age? And Emily even noticed it. He just started talking about John for no reason. And then David comes out, right? Isn't it customary? Aren't you guys just going to go sit down at a table, crack open a bottle and have a shot? He's over here. I cannot. And he walks off. Yeah. And Sean's like, where are you
What's
going?
He doing?
Yeah. What does he do? And he's just like, I can't do it. Because it makes for TV, right? The cameras are going to follow you.
Yep,
and
yep.
He was just being such a diva. Like,
totally.
When during the break time, I don't want
to go upstairs.
Upstairs
with this guy.
Just like the world revolved around him all of a sudden, you know? And I'm just like, come on, man, really? He was just doing the most. And it was kind of cringy. Dude, this isn't the guy you were all season. You know what I mean? Like, I at least thought that he was pretty likable, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the tell-all, he's just like guns blazing.
Totally.
Yeah. And I'm just like, dude. And it was just very attention whore-y to me.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Such an attention whore. I'm not surprised by the fact that his parents declined to be on the show because they're probably very embarrassed.
That was one of the things I wrote was he said he hasn't
seen them for 6 months.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So they're really protesting this.
Yeah.
Either they're not in agreement with the relationship or how they're conducting themselves, or they just don't want to sign up for this whole drama.
Or he's being stubborn. Because I wonder too if he's like, well, I'm not. They don't want to talk. I don't want to talk to them then or whatever, you know, it could be. I don't want to put it past Jibri. Like Jibri's, he's got ego. He's got pride. Mm-hmm. I could see Jibri going like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I secretly wanted to see John pummel him, but I'm also not a violent person. But really, like, if you dish it, you got to take it, you know, and he picked on John from the get-go. Like
sparkles.
Oh yeah, there we go. Jibri was just all over the place. Like you say, it's cringeworthy. It almost made it so difficult for me to rewatch the tell-all. Like, just watching it once, I'm like, oh, Jibri saying all this stuff like, you're not gonna last. Oh yeah, they're okay, but you're not gonna, it's like, come on, man. No one asked for your advice or your opinion. Like, you don't have to. If you have nothing good to say, don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut.
I noticed too, like, because I watched the beginning over again.
Mm-hmm.
And Ari was kind of having his back. So, mm-hmm. like, when they talked about the relationship with the parents, and then they said, you know, there's a lot of
jealousy. Yeah.
Ari was just kind of piggybacking off that, saying, oh, you think the parents are jealous because of Miona and stuff? And then he attacked her for it. I go, dude, you brought it up. Like, she was just kind of like piggybacking on the statement you made. It
He
was.
did make fun of Beanie's English too when he was stuttering.
I heard, yeah. So I didn't
And
see
Ari
it.
called
I
him out
must
on
have
it.
missed that part.
Yeah,
But
I
then.
saw it and I was like, yeah, he did. And then he was trying to say, no, I didn't. Like, I was just agreeing to him or whatever. And dude, yeah, he was doing the most. If he's vying for a place in the next season of whatever or on Pillow Talk, I hope the producers don't budge on this. Like, I think they would because they like drama, obviously,
Yeah.
and Ghibli makes for good TV, but it's just so extra the way he tries to. He's like a. He's almost like, I want to say, who's someone who courts a lot of drama? Like, I can't think of another cast member that just keeps courting drama after drama, but in that way. I'm not talking
Right.
about Stacey Darcy. I'm not talking about. I'm trying to think about someone else that's like very over the top.
An Angela almost.
Yes. I almost forgot about her because I
Yeah.
hate her, so I suppress her for
Out
a
of
minute.
sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Like Angela is just over the top, flashing her boobs, just
Yeah.
being very.
Especially during the tell-all, like,
Totally.
okay, all eyes on me.
Yeah,
I
totally.
gotta
Like she
hog the
has something to
spotlight.
say. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't miss people like that. Like, I'm not gonna,
Yeah.
yeah, they.
I wished we heard more from Miona.
Miona. But when we do, it was Jem. Remember when Miona called Muhammad out? She said, how weak is your relationship if a bikini is gonna destroy it?
Yeah.
And I was like, mic up moment.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Miona says the right things at the right time. Like, I have to give her credit for that. Like, she just doesn't insert herself when she doesn't need to.
Right.
She's not about the drama, but she does contribute just enough just to stay classy.
She's
So
reserved,
she's very reserved. She's very
right? Yeah.
calculative, very,
There's power in saying less. And
yes.
then, picking your moments,
Yeah.
right?
And then
Yeah.
her partner is the complete opposite. And, he's a bonehead.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else to say. I just feel like Ghibli was just all over the place. He acted like that tell-all was all about him, clearly with the way he dressed up and just inserting himself, in everyone's business. Ugh.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I think this is something new. Did you feel like Kenny commentating?
I
Was
was
there
about to
any
get to that.
value like to that for you, or?
Not really. But can I just say something that might be unpopular and might get us into trouble a little bit?
Let's say it.
I think the whole world knows that Tim needs to come out.
Tim will come out on his own
Oh,
time.
okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're at least aligned there.
But I
Means
the
us.
speculation is definitely
It's
there.
strong. And here's why. Because growing up, I've had friends like that who took their time coming out, but like the rest of us can see it. We're just waiting. We're just waiting in the wings, like, okay, are you going to be your true self? Like, are you going to be authentic with yourself? Like, are you just denying it? Because Tim with those boots, I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like, maybe he's being androgynous, and I get it. He's a gun designer, so I get it. He may be a creative person, but I just felt like he made Kenny look straight.
He was very gender
Flamboyant.
nonconforming.
Yeah, he was very
He had
flamboyant.
like eyeliner
Eyeliner.
makeup
Yeah.
on.
And maybe he's, you know what, guys? I apologize. Maybe he's just being creative. Maybe that's what he is. But I just feel like the whole world kind of know that he should be coming out. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
Well,
my view.
I mean, we're all speculating right now,
Did
y'all. He did
he
date,
did, yeah.
so.
He had a kid, sorry, with Veronica, if I'm not wrong. Anyway, the other thing that I found weird is, oh, maybe off, not weird, but he was fine hugging John. But then when it comes to Emily, he just fist bump her.
No, I didn't
So
notice that.
I was like, okay, I see you, Tim, I see you. But anyway, let's leave Tim alone. I don't care for their extra commentating. Maybe it was helpful because they did go
Don't
to
think so.
John, they go to, like, was it Emily, and
There's
they.
nothing about that part of it, I think, that couldn't have been done on like Pillow Talk.
Yeah. Which we saw the Pillow Talk version of the tell-all. And that was super entertaining as well. Like, I think Veronica met up with Armando. So they kind of like exchange partners, which I thought was, it's a cool idea. I welcome it. But yeah, I also wanted to add, Lon, that I'm not so sure about Sean Robinson anymore. I like her as a host. I just don't think she's cut out for a trashy show. I think she's just so classy as a host. I see someone like an Andy Cohen. I'm not sure if you watch Real Housewives tell-alls or the reunion show. They call it reunion show. Andy Cohen will insert himself. He will let the ladies go at it, go at each other. But he can also be very bitchy. And I think the difference that you can see between Andy Cohen and Sean Robinson is that, and maybe this is because of the leaked video during the pandemic, is that Sean Robinson is listening to instructions. And you can tell that her words are very deliberate because
she's prompted.
Someone's prompting her in her earpiece. Whereas I think when you see someone who's more natural in moderating a trashy show, you can see that it has a flow. It's very natural. And like I said, they can get very bitchy. And I think that's how you add that extra spice into a reunion or a tell-all for a trash TV show. And I don't think Sean Robinson kind of cut it because I felt very frustrated whenever there's a clash. And then she would just say like, well, I guess we'll table that. Or, oh, I guess this will never be resolved. And it's almost like she cut it short and doesn't add anything else to kind of like put fuel into the fire. Because it is dumpster TV. Like, why can't you, you know, you're at liberty to be more bitchy about it and more catty and maybe kind of like spur people on. But Sean, I feel like...
There was a lot of criticism. This tell-all I noticed for Sean Robinson. Like, I'd seen tweets, she wasn't cutting it. She wasn't asking questions that people wanted asked. Like, well, why didn't you ask this? Why didn't you ask that? What's up with this? There were a lot of things she didn't inquire about. But then she asked about Emily's parents' sex life.
Yeah.
For some reason. Like,
yeah.
It was like...
And she asked the cast about their sex lives too. And I'm like...
What is this? Yeah. Like, there's other questions that we want to know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't tell Juby to SDFU as well. I wish she did. I wish she would call him out too. Because I'm like, Juby was out of control. And no one called him out. And not even the host, the moderator. And I thought Sean Robinson could be a little bit more bitchy with him. And kind of like insert herself too, right? Like... She should be the focal point of the show, but instead, GB ran circles around everyone, including her.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
she wasn't guiding and directing.
She wasn't moderating well enough for me, at least. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Sean Robinson stands out there, and I apologize, but I think we've watched her quite a number of times to know that she's a great host. Okay. I'm not saying she's bad. She's just not great for the show to tell all, at least, because we expect a little bit more control of the cattiness, the messiness of it all. But you can tell that she's being fed a lot of this. And I think maybe that's why she's still doing it, is because it's easy to mold her. It's easy to instruct her because she's just doing her job based on what her producers are feeding her. Whereas, like, if you watch, I keep going back to Andy Cohen because I'm a huge fan of Real Housewives. But if you go to like a reunion show where Andy Cohen is the host, hey, even Selling Sunset, when I remember one of the Queer Eye guy did it, I thought he was being very, very bitchy too. And I liked it. He was asking the right questions too. And I wonder, again, maybe this is a case where Sean's being fed a very bad line of questions. Whereas the other hosts were not, you know, maybe had their own, or maybe they were fed better questions. I mean, I don't know, but I just wanted to see someone else do the tell-all eventually. All right, Lon, we've come to the end of our coverage of the two-part tell-all of 90 Day Fiancé Season 9. Tell us your WTF moment.
For me, Jibri. When Jibri, I know. This is an easy one because, like, we could pick, right?
Yeah.
But I think he was definitely out of line when he just started pointing at everybody and saying, you're going to make it, you're going to make it, you're not, you're going to make it. I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. And maybe other people might not see anything wrong with that, but I just felt for somebody who was saying, oh, I'm all about respect, I'm all about respect.
Yeah.
I was very disrespectful. Yeah. To all the couples there. And I think even Emily and Kobe kind of recognized that when they went to visit Bilal and Shaida later on, and they said, you know what?
They apologized too.
He was out of line when he said that. We think you're good people and you guys are going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, I felt some type of way. Like, and that was validating in that I knew that was just very uncomfortable that he started doing that.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, it's my opinion. I'm just going to say it how it is. I'm like, dude, no. I don't know. WTF written all over that.
Yeah. Same here. I feel like there's no one else that kind of outshadow him in that department. You know, he said he was going to bring the love and light to people, but he did the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for Miona because if I were her, I would be super embarrassed. But I'm pretty sure the reason why she was able to stay calm is probably because they had a game plan and for him to act up just so they can maybe, like I said, prolong their tenure on 90 Day Fiancé. Who knows? Yeah, I think there were a lot of unnecessary comments made from Jibri and that made it so cringeworthy and so, cringy to watch and just left a bad taste, basically. And
I have a runner-up,
okay,
but say yours first.
I don't know if I have a runner-up. I'm trying to think if there's anyone that's so appalling to me.
Okay, honorable mention then.
Okay.
The text messages.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, fucking WTF. I was like, my gosh.
Totally,
like,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have to say, I always appreciate John's presence. I know he can be a messy thing himself, but you know,
Sparkles.
It's going to go down into the Hall of Fame of 90 Day Fiancé franchise.
All right, here's another question. Now that we're at the end of not just the podcast, but also the end of the season.
Yeah.
Spinoffs. Which are the couples that you wouldn't mind seeing more of, and which ones are you over and done with?
Honestly, I would like to see Emily and Kobe. I think Emily would definitely bring the drama. I want to say Kara and Guillermo because I like them, but they're boring. I'm sorry, Kara. I guess I'm also curious about Eve and Mohammed, but I think they're kind of over. Like, unless they've been faking this current drama that they're in, like, I don't know. Do I want to see that unfold? I don't know. Like, if you're the producer, right? And you guys were making decision on like, okay, who's going to be the next family Chantel or the next family that we're going to explore? I want to say Kobe and Emily would be a good contender.
Mm-hmm.
So will Jibri and Miona, unfortunately, because you want to know like, okay, well, how's the mom doing? What is she thinking? How is she taking it, right? Because she's a therapist. So her career is on the line. Like the more she appears in 90 Day Fiancé, the more like her credibility is going to get questioned. So I don't know about you, Lon. Maybe you have a different couple that you want to see again.
No, I agree. I think there's a valid case to be made for most of them. The only couple I don't want to see is like Ari and Benny. As interesting as that could go,
I'm over it.
Over them. Yeah. I think we've seen enough of them.
Yeah, totally agree. I don't want to see, I'm sorry, but Shaida's as beautiful as she is, I don't mind seeing her on TV by herself. But I don't want to see Bilal.
I'm over.
But yeah, but they're on Happily Ever After. So they got what they want.
Are they?
Yeah. They're
oh, wait. Happily Ever After?
After. Yeah. Next week.
After.
After.
Right? With the question mark.
Oh, yeah. After.
After.
Sorry. After.
Happily Ever. Because it's like, we don't know. Are they? Okay. Huh.
I do want to see John and Patrick on Pillow Talk. Because I think Thais, as beautiful as she is, I want to see her on TV again. I don't know if I want to see her struggle with the communication because I know she does struggle a little bit. So something about them, she and Patrick, that doesn't interest me. I mean, I know they're globe-trotting couple and that's going to be interesting. But I don't know. Maybe if they involve the dad, right? Maybe if they bring the dad in and he injects more drama into their relationship. And then with John, I don't mind, but that I can see that being like Andre and
Think John would be good on Pillow Talk.
Yeah.
So Pillow Talk is great for people who just love to put in their two cents all the time.
Yeah.
And I could see him just saying the most outlandish shit about people.
Totally.
I can see that. Yeah.
All right, Lon, before my laptop battery dies, what are we gonna do about next week? Are we still gonna cover Happily Ever After? Or are we gonna go into House of Dragons? Because, we both are big Game of Thrones fan. Are we gonna pivot? Are we gonna watch the UK? I mean, what do you think?
I wouldn't mind House of Dragons. That's a weekly.
Bro.
And
Hey, fun fact, y'all.
did y'all see that? Did you see that? I'm sure you
Obviously
did.
I saw that. And I saw everything, even the Easter egg, YouTubes and stuff. But just fun fact, guys, me and Lon, when we were colleagues, I want to say back in the day, but like a few years ago, right? We would be debriefing on Game of Thrones, right? With the rest of our other coworkers, right? And also The Walking Dead, that was also pretty huge back then. But yeah, definitely Game of Thrones. Like, I would definitely want to cover that. I think there's a lot to be covered. HBO has about eight different spin-offs from Game of Thrones, and this is one of them. The Jon Snow sequel is going to be made, apparently. So there's a lot of things to cover in terms of the Game of Thrones universe. And then, of course, Jeff Bezos has entered the chat. We have the Lord of the Rings prequel, right? Which again would be interesting to cover too. I don't know. I mean, I want to hear what our listeners want us to cover, but I'm not a big fan of the faults on Happily Ever After. So I don't know, Lon. Maybe there's a lot of things that we need to deliberate on before we decide what we want to do next.
Yeah, I'm open to it.
Yeah.
I'm open to it. We could talk about Game of
Game of
Thrones.
Thrones. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did you know? So I know you were a fan of Debs,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
On so
Senoya
Sonoya,
is the place. Yes.
I
Dude,
knew it.
she's
I
my
was
girl,
like,
man. She's my girl.
I was like, wait, is that? And then I looked,
She's
I was
my
like,
girl.
oh my God.
Dude, she's like my girl crush, okay?
She's
She's
awesome.
awesome. I love her. Yeah,
Yeah.
I saw her. I was like, yes.
That's gotta be her. Yeah, I was like, why do I know her? And then I looked and I was like, yeah, it's her.
She plays, I want to say she plays Damon's,
Why?
no, that's not Damon's wife, because Damon's wife, according to the council, is in the Vale. And if you guys remember, the Vale is the
You're right.
one where, the big hole in the middle where
Mistress? Whore? I
mistress,
don't
yes,
know.
concubine,
Concubine, perhaps?
consort or something.
Consort. Right.
So yeah, and she will, according to the previews, I'm not spoiling it here, but if you watch the previews, she bears a child for him that could be Aegon, that could be Jon Snow's dad.
Let's save it. Let's save
Let's save it.
it just in
Yeah, I
case
know.
we talk
Okay.
about it.
There's a lot to cover. There's a lot to cover. So, long before we go, any shows that you want to recommend? Any podcasts, any shows, any music?
I think House of Dragon was the only one I actually was excited about that I watched. Yeah, I don't remember seeing much. The Most Hated Man on the Internet, I think. I might have recommended that one.
I want to watch that Mantai Teo documentary.
Oh, I saw
That's,
that one.
oh, you did? Okay. I thought that would be up
Good
your
one.
wheelhouse because it's about catfishing, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. So that
Okay.
series is called Untold. It's a really good series. There's another episode for that that I want to see, like
Oh.
the rise and fall of And One Basket Street Ballad.
Oh, yeah. That's
Yeah.
interesting. I
But yeah, the
gotta watch that.
Manateo episode is really good.
Okay. I just finished season two of Only Murders in the Building. They just published the last episode of season two where they revealed the murderer or the criminal mastermind. So for folks who are fans of true crime, that's a really good series starring Martin Short, Selena Gomez, and holy crap, I forgot the other comedian's name. Damn it. Steve Martin.
Steve Martin and Martin
Martin
Short.
Short. Yeah, that's why I got it confused. Yep. Yeah, I finished watching that. And I must say, Hulu has a lot of great content. Like, I don't find myself Netflixing anymore. I watch Prey, which is the prequel to Predator, and that's one heck of a kick-ass movie.
Phenomenal, right?
And Lana, I know I recommended this to you, but This Fool is a
Oh,
good one
this
too.
fool. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, this fool. That's on my list.
Yeah.
That's on my list. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny. So yeah, any last words?
Thank you again, listeners. I didn't think that we would be speaking about like 90 Day Fiancé to an international audience when Nadia and I would speak about this like at work, like
yeah,
what turned into like just water cooler talk.
yeah, banters
turned into this. Yeah. And I couldn't be more grateful for the listeners we have, for the people who engage with us on our social accounts. So yeah, just really with all the gratitude I can muster, thank you.
Oh, same here. We get a lot of DMs of people who say, hey, we listen to your show. And till now, till today, I mean, and we're a very young podcast too. I still get very surprised that people actually listen to us. Shout out to my coworkers who also plug our podcasts amongst each other. And I'm super grateful to you guys for listening. And yeah, please continue to listen to us, even if we cover 90 Day Fiancé or otherwise. I feel like this show kind of is in a rut right now. Like, it's deteriorating. Like, anytime they feature Big Ed and Angela, I'm like, nope, I'm done.
We might be scraping the bottom right now.
Yeah. Like, ugh. Anyway. All right, cool. Till next time, be kind to one another and stay safe out there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.